If you have your Bible handy, will you get it, please, and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 7? We read in verse 46 that the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." I repeat it, never man spake like this man. Now that which occasioned such a commendable declaration concerning the words of the Lord Jesus is found in verses 37 and 38 of this same 7th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus had attended the Feast of the Tabernacles, and it was the last day of this religious observance. And knowing full well the dry, empty formalism of this religious service, that which could not satisfy the hearts of his creatures whom he loved, we hear him saying as he stands in that last day of the feast, saying to that multitude, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." My, what words these were. What an offer. What grace. Is there any wonder that the officers said, "Never man spake like this man"? The Lord Jesus has spoken in tones of grace, dear listening friend. And today, just as in that day, he who knows full well the need of the human heart and the emptiness of formal religion to meet that need is still presenting himself for your acceptance. In Luke chapter 4, we read three characteristics of his words. When he began his earthly ministry, he was in the temple and reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 2. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," and he closed the book. He closed the book right in the middle of a verse. Why? Why, simply because his mission was indeed one to save and not to judge. For the next part of the verse in Isaiah goes on to say, "The day of vengeance of our God." The Lord Jesus did not come 2,000 years ago to judge the world. He came to save. How in keeping it was that he should close the book in the middle of that verse in Isaiah. It is true that he is going to, in a coming day and very soon, judge this world in righteousness. But we are happy to tell you today that it is still the day of grace, and the Lord Jesus still would speak words of grace to you. Those that heard him on that day bear witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Indeed, his whole lifetime of ministry is one recording of gracious words. Words that depict the love and mercy that men need and which God has shown in grace. For grace and truth has come through Jesus Christ. In verse 32, we also read, "They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." What he said had life to it. There was power indeed in his word. Was this not evidenced in all that he did? As he commanded the demons to depart from those possessed, as he commanded the blind to see, yea, as he stood by the grave of Lazarus and said, "Come forth," words of power. And I wish you to know that today the same words of power are heard in his word. He speaks in his word. We read in John 5, "The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." It is our fervent, sincere desire that today you might have ears to hear. You might go to this blessed book that is in your home, in your hands, and receive it as it is, God's word, God's message to yourself. They're words of grace, they're words of power. Words, if you receive by faith, will bring you the blessing that you need and what your heart longs for. Also, down in verse 36, we read, they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Yes, he has all authority. All authority is committed unto him in heaven and in earth. He is the creator of all things, the creator that came down into his creation to save mankind, who through sin had been lost and ruined. And here we see the blessed Son of God here amongst men, speaking words of grace that produced wonderment, speaking words of power that caused astonishment, speaking words with authority that made them all amazed. I trust that today you too will be made to wonder, to be astonished, and to be amazed at the wonderful words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish to take you to just a couple of those words today as we hear him speaking, using the very word never himself. It was said of him, never man spake like this man. His language was unique because his person is unique. His language was supreme because he himself is the one highest above all. First of all, in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, we read, and mark this, I trust that you are a thirsty soul. The Lord Jesus would speak it to you that you might believe and be blessed. He says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. He has authority to say that. He has the power to bring it to pass. And what grace it is that he should offer it to you. The water that I shall give him shall be in him. This is totally apart from an outward observance, a religious ceremony. This is that which is inward. This is real. This is vital. This is what you need. It's that water springing up into everlasting life. Because you are dead in sins, you need everlasting life. You need this life-giving flow which Jesus longs to give, in which he has authority to give. He gives it on the principle of faith. Faith in what? In his words. This dear woman to whom he was speaking said, sir, give me this water. And I trust that this is your desire. The Lord Jesus, however, before he could give her this water, had to probe her deeply, and he does, yet kindly. He brings to her lips a confession, for he knew her. He knew her life of sin, and he knew that nothing in this life could satisfy her nor remove her guilt but what he had to offer. This is true in regards to you. But the same life-giving water that he offered and gave to her that day, he offers to you and would give to you today. He presents himself to her as the Messiah, the Anointed One. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is he who presents himself to you. And as she came in contact with him that day, her heart being open to receive the revelation of himself through his word, it is then that she received water that was not in that well. She received the life-giving spring of everlasting life. And she went into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She learned something. She received something. And this is what the Lord wants to give to you everlasting life, a vital inward flow that links you with himself in the glory. In the 7th chapter of John, we are told that this water of life is the Spirit of God himself, the one who came into the world to indwell believers at the day of Pentecost, and he has been here ever since. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. But the Lord Jesus wants to give you this life-giving flow, and it is yours for the receiving. Yes, salvation is a gift. Turn with me now to the 6th chapter, and we hear the Lord Jesus saying these words, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Never thirst, he said to the woman. Never hunger, he says here in this passage. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Never hunger, never thirst. The Lord Jesus is the one that you need for your soul. He is presenting himself here as the absolute necessity for the well-being of mankind. In fact, he goes on to say, unless ye have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and drunk his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, he's not talking here about the Lord's Supper. He is using eating here as an illustration of faith in receiving his word and himself for a personal need. Just as you eat to have your personal needs, your natural needs satisfied, so when he himself presents himself to you as the bread of life, it is for your soul's need. It is for personally taking him for your need, eating him as it were. I can't eat for you, nor can you eat for me. It is a personal matter. And Jesus says, however, he that cometh to me, coming to him is believing. Coming then is eating. He says to those who come, she shall never hunger. There is an eternal provision for your need in Jesus, the bread of life. How wonderful that he offers himself still as this all-sufficient, all-necessary commodity, shall we say, that Holy One who knew no sin, to be your very own Savior. But now go to the 10th chapter and we read something further about the character of this blessing that he gives. Never thirst, never hunger. In John 10, he says concerning his sheep, and the sheep are the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Again, you notice the connection with the sheep and the word, the way God communicates to us is through his word. He says, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Now, the Lord could have used any other word he wished to, but he doesn't, because he wants to use the same word that he has used in regards to never thirst, never hunger. He says, never perish. Furthermore, he says, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Think of the double security that the believer of Christ is in. The Father's hand, the Savior's hand. This is the result of the finished work of Christ. Salvation is his work, dear listening friend. It's not your own. You don't add one thing to it. You are connected with it, you receive it by faith, but the work is his alone, and he says, never perish. I trust that every listener is resting upon this wonderful word of Jesus, and you are saying, ah, never man spake like this man. And you wonder and are astonished and amazed at the marvelous truth of his grace. Now, in the 11th chapter of John, we have another truth developed for the believer, a most precious line that the Lord unfolds to Martha. She was orthodox in her belief as to the general resurrection, but the Lord tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he have died, yet shall he live. One who trusts in Christ goes, that is, his soul and spirit, to be with the Lord in the glory. His body goes into the grave, but his body shall be raised. It's referred to in Scripture as the out-resurrection, the first resurrection, the resurrection from among the dead. But there's another truth in the next verse that I wish to bring before you. Whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Shall never die? Well, just what does he mean? Simply this, that the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today receives everlasting life. And in the words of the Lord himself in John 5, notice this, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Mark it, is passed from death unto life, shall never die. For a believer, death is not meted out as a penalty of sin. The very reason is this, that the Lord Jesus is the substitute for the believer. He paid the penalty with his own death at Calvary. Death is no penalty for me. And hence, in the scriptural teaching of death for the believer, we read that it is referred to as being put to sleep, that is, the body, not the soul or spirit. No, that is conscious in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But it's spoken of also as departing to be with Christ, which is far better. So here again, shall never die. Have you got a hold of that, dear believer? Do you not long to have this for your blessing, dear unbeliever? Never thirst, never hunger, never perish, never die. But let me just in closing remind you that the Lord Jesus, who used these gracious words, also used the word never in connection with the other side of the picture. He speaks of those who reject him, who shall be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Mark 9:43. Never shall be quenched. Think of it. Just as the salvation of the believer is eternal and secure in Christ, just so the damnation of the unbeliever is eternal. Think of it. But it need not be for any. The Lord died that all might be redeemed, that all might have their thirst quenched, their hunger satisfied, to have a salvation in which they never perish. Never die. God grant that today you might be amongst those that hear his word, because this salvation is commended to you in his word, is presented in the word, and if you will receive it as coming to you from the Lord Jesus, his gracious words, you will say, never man spake like this man. You'll thank him for eternity for such words as he has uttered that has brought you salvation. But remember this, in John 12 we read, Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Be warned, and oh, be wise. Hear the word of God, and today, with those officers, exclaim, never man spake like this man.